Lord's given his children or anything like that from the standpoint of the way, the narrow way to live and his instruction of mankind, we believe our choices are ours and no other person enters into them. Okay? That's the way we just think that it is. Well, where did we get that? Well, we got that because we're made in the image and likeness of God. Now, we've been given a sphere of operation. Okay, we are not God, even though we may think we are God, you know, mankind. But we've been given a sphere of operation. The Lord has told us, told our father Adam and all to us to have dominion over the earth. To have dominion, you're going to make some choices, going to make some decisions. And we do so collectively. We do so as a church. We do so as a family. We do so individually. And so for us to think that we have that and even have that right, or that's just a normal course of life. Well, how did we get this? Well, it's because we're made in the image and likeness of God. Because the Lord makes choices too. He does. We see there's some additional verses that I thought of regarding our work. This in Ecclesiastes has always been a blessing to me and just tells about the design of the Lord for us in life. Ecclesiastes 2:24, there's nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink and that he should make his soul enjoy the good in his labor. This also I saw that it was from the hand of God. He's blessed us that way. We're blessed to be able to work and to gain and to build and make progress and to do. That's a blessing of the Lord. And there are those today that say, well, if you can do that, that needs to be taken away from you because others have need, and therefore, no, that's not what the Lord says. The Lord says, yes, there are those in need, but the Lord is not looking that it be taken by assault or by force, but that we be like our Lord and be generous with what the Lord gives us. And so we've got this bend in our day towards Marxism and the different flavors of that. And that's not of the Lord. The Lord may bring a Marxist government to power. The nations and the kings are in his hand. But he'll do that because of sin and wickedness, judgment, and the accomplishing of his plan. But for you and me, the simple basic design of what the Lord gives is we're to love our neighbor as ourselves, and we're to work if we want to eat, you know. And so the thought of the day of taking away from folks is not of the Lord, just outright. And so we have this ability to make these choices. And to make decisions in our life, we think that's just normal, and we have that because God is the way that He is. And so then what we started off last time is we want to take a look at some choices that God has made. God's made some choices. And we started off with 1 Timothy 5:21, where the apostle writes, Brother Timothy, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels, that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. So the brother is speaking to the young pastor and minister. He's speaking to them. He's charging him. But he makes this mission that he's charged before the elect angels. There's an allegory in the book of Revelation, as I mentioned last time, that tells us and gives us a picture of a dragon and how he took a third of the stars from heaven. We believe that that's a reference indeed to those angels in glory that followed after Lucifer when he fell. And so the two-thirds that remain are those that are doing the will of God and following the command of God and doing that work of ministering spirit. And Brother Paul makes it clear unto us that they are elect. And so enters in another word, a synonym with choice, or chosen, is elect. Understand, no time in the Bible does the word elect mean that God voted for you and Satan voted against you and you make the decision. Now, sinners are commanded before the Lord to repent and believe and trust in Christ. But the Lord didn't hold an election, okay, in regards to men's souls. He didn't hold an election. It's not speaking about that. It is a synonym for choose, and these angels were chosen by God. They were chosen by God to be secure. And I'm just going to, with what we understand about the rest of the Lord's choosing, I would dare say that those angels didn't know who was and who wasn't. But you know how we know? The ones that followed Satan, they weren't. Okay, so the thing is, unless the Lord tells, there's a never knowing about his choices. Unless he tells in advance, there's always going to be a manifestation, and then there's going to be a telling that that is the case. Okay, that's where you and I live here in time. Okay? So about the Lord's choices, unless he tells us in advance, we don't know who is or what is or that. So then, again, the word elect is, I said it's like us. We might think of this in the same way we think of choosing. We may say yes or we may say no. And again, in that of an election, we make a choice between candidates, don't we? Maybe we choose not to vote, okay, in our choices, our decisions, okay? We choose where to eat. You chose what to eat. You elected what to eat before you came to services. I didn't have anything to do with it. You decided that, right? You and I choose whether to give a gift or not. And we indeed, I believe, choose who to love or not. And again, I speak as a man. So the word elect, don't stumble over that. It's just speaking about a choice, choosing. And so we want to continue to take a look at that tonight. Another choice that the Lord has made, and I've enjoyed this more in recent years, is what the Lord said about this place that he would put his name. You know, he made these statements about a place on the earth where he was going to put his name. And so let's look at that here first in Deuteronomy chapter 12. Deuteronomy chapter 12. Of course, first five books of the Bible are speaking to the children of Israel coming out of Egypt, Brother Moses being the writer. And let's read here in verse number 20. Deuteronomy 12, verse number 20. When the Lord thy God shall enlarge thy border, he's going to do it, as he hath promised thee, and thou shalt say, I will eat flesh, because my soul longeth to eat flesh. Thou mayest eat flesh, whatsoever thy soul lusteth after, desires after. If the place which the Lord God hath chosen to put his name there be too far from thee, then thou shalt kill of thy herd and of thy flock, which the Lord hath given thee, as I have commanded thee, and thou shalt eat in thy gates whatsoever thy soul lusteth or desireth after. So this is talking about offering tithes reserved for the Lord. There would be a time that some wouldn't be able to go because of the distance, and the Lord's giving instruction about that. But the reference that we want to note here is early on, Deuteronomy 12. The Lord is saying there's going to be a place where I'm going to put my name. These folks don't even have a clue about Jerusalem. They don't know about Jerusalem. But the Lord chose a place. It was special to him. And we'll see more about that. Chapter 16, let's read here in verse number 9. 7 weeks, Deuteronomy 16, 7 weeks, verse 9. Shalt thou number unto thee, begin to number the 7 weeks from such time as thou beginnest to put the sickle to the corn, speaking about harvest, and thou shalt keep the feast of weeks unto the Lord thy God with a tribute of a freewill offering, and this is in the spring, barley harvest, and of thine hand which thou shalt give unto the Lord thy God according to the Lord, and the Lord thy God that hath blessed thee. Verse 11, and thou shalt rejoice before the Lord thy God, thou and thy son and thy daughter, the family, the manservant, the maidservant, all the household, and the Levite that is within thy gates, and the stranger and the fatherless and the widow that are among you in the place which the Lord thy God hath chosen to place his name there. They don't know where that is yet, but it's instruction for time to come that when the Lord does it, There's going to be a focus upon that and a traveling to that. See, Israel was given instruction about the going to Jerusalem well before Jerusalem was the capital of the nation, hundreds of years. And then when that happened, then they knew all those things that the Lord had instructed, the appearing of the males before the Lord. They would go to the tabernacle, we believe, like when it was in Shiloh and other places. But then when the place came, Jerusalem, Zion, that was the place. And that was a rejoicing to them that the Lord brought that to pass. Again, hundreds of years into the existence of the nation. 1 Kings chapter 8. Take a look here. 1 Kings chapter 8. Solomon's at the dedication of the temple, right? He's praying unto the Lord. He says here, "If thy people go out to battle against their enemy, whithersoever thou shalt send them, and shalt pray unto the Lord towards the city which thou hast chosen, and towards the house that I have built for thy name, then hear thou in heaven their prayer and their supplication, and maintain their cause." So now, this is at a time, Brother Solomon has built the temple. Where has he built it? He's built it in Jerusalem. Jerusalem, David defeated the Jebusites and took over Jerusalem. It became the capital. He moved there. He had his house there. The tabernacle was brought there. David had it in his heart the desire to build the tabernacle or the temple to the Lord rather, but he was restricted in that. He could collect material and make the design and all that, but Solomon, his son, was going to do so. And so here the tabernacle, I keep saying that, the temple has been built and it's being dedicated. And Solomon's praying, when they pray toward this place, the city which thou hast chosen. You know, wonder if the Jews, do we ever see anything about the Jews fussing about Jerusalem being chosen? I really don't read anything about that. They fussed about David a little bit, about him being king for a while, but the Lord took care and settled that. Why wouldn't the Lord be allowed to choose his own city where he would place his name? After all of it belongs to him, doesn't it? You know, so now there are the children of Ishmael that, and the children of Esau, possibly, and the children of Ishmael and Esau and some of the Arabians, they don't like that. But from the standpoint of Israel, they're very comfortable with the Lord's choices, aren't they? Yeah. And why would the Lord choose there? Because he wanted to choose there. And it's up to him to choose where he wants to choose. It's the place where his name would be. And chapter 11, 1 Kings chapter 11. Let's look here. Let's read verse number 9. "And the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice. He had sinned. He'd had a lot of wives that turned his heart. He had brought in graven images, built different temples to different gods." What a terrible sight. The southern side and slope of the Mount of Olives there to the east of Zion must have been. It just, what a heartbreak it had to be to those that were faithful to the Lord and knew and understood. "And had commanded him," verse 10, "concerning this thing, and he should not go after other gods, but he kept not that which the Lord commanded. Wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, for as much as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant, my statutes, which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee, and will give it to thy servant. Notwithstanding, in thy days I will not do it for David thy father's sake, but I will rend it out of the hand of thy son. Howbeit, I will not rend away all the kingdom, but will give one tribe to thy son for David my servant's sake, and for Jerusalem's sake, which I have chosen. The Lord, He's chosen Jerusalem. And He has every right to choose Jerusalem. And there is an element of the world hates His choosing of Jerusalem. But it's His choice. In the vernacular of some of our brethren, it's His choice because He's the boss. Right? Amen? I mean, that's the way it is. You know, anything that's yours that you create or build or whatever, it's yours, isn't it? You can do with it what you want. You can elect to use it. You can elect to give it. You can elect to whatever you want to do with it, to paint it, whatever. So it is with the Lord. And He's chosen a place to put His name there. It goes on to say, in verse number 36 in this chapter, let's read that. And unto his son will I give one tribe, that David my servant may have a light alway before me in Jerusalem, the city which I have chosen me to put my name there. The verses that deal with it, this just go on and on. I mean, there's just not a handful of them. Verses, of course, in the Chronicles, paralleling that of Kings. And then in the Psalms, where the psalmist writes about that. In Psalm 132, verse 13, "For the Lord hath chosen Zion, He hath desired it for His habitation." And Nehemiah, it's referred to there also in Zechariah. So, choices. The Lord has made choices with angels. He's made choices with a city and a place to put His name there. The next that we want to take a look at is this of a nation. You know, the Lord has chosen a nation. Now, there are those that are against that. As I mentioned earlier, the descendants of Ishmael, they have quarrel with that. The descendants of Esau would have quarrel with that. Some Arabs would have quarrel with that. But in Deuteronomy chapter 4, again, dealing with this group that the Lord brought out of Egypt and their children, listen to what He says here early on with them. And let's read here in verse 35, Deuteronomy 4:35. "Unto thee it was showed, that thou mightest know the Lord, He is God. There is none else beside Him. The Lord revealed Himself unto His nation. Out of heaven He made thee to hear His voice, that He might instruct thee, and upon the earth He showed thee His great fire." Of course, Moses speaking here and preaching to that second generation. "And thou heardest His words out of the midst of the fire. And because He loved thy fathers, therefore He chose their seed after them, and brought thee out of His sight with His mighty power out of Egypt, to drive out nations from before thee, greater and mightier than thou art, to bring thee in and to give thee their land for an inheritance, as it is this day." And so the Lord here, he speaks about choosing a nation. In chapter 7 of this book, in chapter 7, verse 6, it says here, "For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord hath chosen thee to be a special people unto Himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth." That's pretty clear, isn't it? A whole nation, a whole lineage of people coming from one man, Jacob. They came from one, so the Lord has chosen a nation. And as His nation, a peculiar people. I like this in Deuteronomy 14, verse number 2. Again, it's very much like chapter 7, but a little bit different. Deuteronomy 14, verse number 2. "For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto Himself." Does that ring a bell? a peculiar people? Does that ring a bell with you?
Yeah.
Above all the nations that are upon the earth. So the Lord has chosen a nation unto himself. Why wouldn't he? If he wants to, he certainly can. All the inhabitants of the earth belong to him. There are those that would argue with this, as we've brought out with the other point about a place to put his name. But you know, it's there would be many that would say, I've heard men say it, I don't know whether they were saved or not, but they admitted to some Jews and said, you know, the Lord has chosen you all. That's just flat out the way it is. That fellow being, I perceived him to be a Gentile. You know, some can be comfortable with that, some are not. But why wouldn't the Lord do that if he was pleased to do so, and he has done so? In the Psalms, Psalm 33:12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. And that's the way it is with the nation of Israel. That's the reference of the psalmist. We, in our country, we desire that our nation would be blessed by the Lord. We have been blessed in decades and centuries past in our acknowledgement of the Lord and our claiming the Lord from a national standpoint. It's been a blessing unto us. We're going away from that. It's as a nation, we've chose to take God and push him away. Whether the Lord has chosen the United States of America or not, I can't say. There's no scripture to back it up that he would. But those that acknowledge him and revere him, he has promised he will bless. Those who are a friend to his nation, he certainly will bless, won't he? Because he said that. Abraham, if they curse you, I'll curse them. But if they bless you, I'll bless them. And we've been in that state as a nation too, haven't we? In Isaiah chapter 43, Isaiah chapter 43, verse number 10, we see this. The Lord declares through our brother, Isaiah 43, verse number 10. The Lord speaking to his nation, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord. My servant whom I have chosen, speaking to them as a nation, that ye may know me and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. Nation, the nation of Israel, Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel, and the nation is named Israel yet today, you're my servant who I have chosen. And so the verses are numerous and numerous references here, dealing with other subjects and such, and references to Brother Jacob and that about his nation. So we see this about the angels that the Lord has chosen. We see about the geography. You know, there are those that can stomach that, and those can take it, and those that can't stomach it. They fight against that place. The angels are something that's you know, we don't comprehend about what it is to be an angel, you know. So if the Lord's choosing amongst them, okay, that's his business. And then a place, but then a nation. Well, there are some that would quarrel with that and some would agree with that. But you know what? In that nation, starting in that nation, and some before, but from the standpoint of when the Lord began to reveal in the nation of Israel his ministry, you know what he did? He chose leaders and ministers. In every institution, the three institutions that there are, the Lord chooses leaders and ministers. You know, in the beginning, when the Lord dealt with families, what was the design from the beginning? The man is to be the leader in every respect in his home, and that's the way it was. Then with the nation, there was a necessity for leadership, wasn't there? And the Lord chose them too. In Numbers chapter 16, you remember this account. There was an uprising amongst the children of Israel, and some people were sick and tired with the way Moses was leading. Korah had a band, and they said that Moses was just taking too much on himself, Moses, Aaron, and they were fed up with it and said, this is going to change. When Moses hears that, in verse number 3, let's read it here in Numbers 16, verse number 3. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and said unto them, you take too much upon you, seeing the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord? And when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face. Moses knew what was coming, didn't he? I wonder if it's not a point of intercessor. We know that Moses has interceded for the people. And he knows when those words were uttered, he knows that this is literally dangerous ground. Not because of Moses, but because of the Lord. Right? And he spake unto Korah. His face fell upon his face. It doesn't give us any indication that he stood up, Moses. But on his face, and he spake unto Korah and all his company, saying, even tomorrow the Lord will show who are his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him. Even him whom he hath chosen will he cause to come near unto him. And so then he gives them instructions about what to do, and that comes to it. And you remember the account. I trust that we do. We remember the account. Turns out with Korah and his wife and his children and his tent and all of his stuff and all those that were confederate with him and that thinking, the Lord opened up the ground and swallowed them up. The Lord, full well, if he chooses a nation of people, he can choose the leaders and the ministers that he wants, can he? I mean, everything is his. Everything is his. Also, in regards to this, the leadership in the nation, we see over here in Deuteronomy 18 this. Not only was there the leadership from the standpoint of the prophet, or in a sense a judge, okay, but there was also that of the worship leadership. In Deuteronomy chapter 18, we see this in verse number 1. The priests, the Levites, and all the tribe of Levi shall have no part nor inheritance with Israel. They shall eat the offerings of the Lord made by fire, and his inheritance. So of that land that the Lord chose, the place he's going to put his name, and then all that land there to the east of the Mediterranean, that's where he said they were going to go, right? And he took his nation there. Of this one tribe that the Lord chooses, he's going to take them and use them for his priestly service in that the operation of the ceremonial and sacrificial law, and they're going to do that. And they're not going to have real estate or a region of their tribe like the other tribes. And the Lord decided that. He chose to do it that way, and he chose who. Therefore, they shall have no inheritance among their brethren, verse 2. The Lord is their inheritance. We might think, well, that's rough. They don't get any real estate. But the Lord told him, said, I'm your inheritance. I tell you what, to have our hearts right to where we would receive that is a real good thing. You know, that's an excellent choice for the Lord to have made for Levi, isn't it? Yeah, it is. The Lord is good. He can be trusted. as he hath said unto them. Verse 3, and this shall be the priest's due from the people of them that offer a sacrifice, whether it be ox or sheep, shall give unto the priest the shoulder and the two cheeks and the maw, the first fruit also of thy corn, thy wine, thine oil. He makes provision for him, and the first of the fleece of thy sheep shalt thou give him. For the Lord thy God hath chosen him out of all thy tribes to stand to minister in the name of the Lord. Him and his sons for how long? Forever. Forever. There's one of those forevers that the Lord says. So the Lord chose leadership in Moses and visited him. It was very personal. He visited him at the burning bush there in the deserts of Sinai, Midian, and called him and equipped him and sent him. And then in giving the law and that of the worship and the sacrificial and ceremonial law, he chose a tribe that would be dedicated to that. Do you remember what happened those handful of times that we see in the scripture when somebody stepped in to do that job? It was nothing but trouble, was it? Nothing but trouble for them. Because why? It wasn't their business. Because God chose his ministers. You know, one tribe that has been in existence from their father Levi down to the time of their deliverance out of Egypt and then coming on down this way, that's a lot of folks, isn't it? A lot of men. And the Lord chose them to do that. Also, when Israel wanted a king, they rejected the way of the judge. They wanted to be like other nations, right? Remember that? And so they wanted a king. Samuel was upset about it, and the Lord told him, Samuel, they've not rejected you. What they've done is they've rejected me. In 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse number 24, Samuel said unto all the people, see ye him whom the Lord hath chosen, that there is none like him among all the people. Right, he stood a head taller than all the other men. And all the people shouted and said, God save the king. But we saw in the book of Hosea about how that went, wasn't it? The Lord was angry. And he gave them... What he did is he gave them a man after their own heart. Isn't that the truth? That's the way that we can see that. He gave them a man after their own heart. Oh, he was fine to look at and a head taller and good fighter his relationship with his Lord was just not cultivated. And he was very easily ill affected by the fame, I believe. His lack of pursuing what the Lord had given the kings of Israel to do way back. He relied upon his mentor and his prophet Samuel for all the relationship thing with God rather than getting that on his own and being taught. And in the Lord's wrath, he took him away. Well, I mean, even that first king. Is it not the Lord's nation to do with what he wants? Yeah. And he gave him a king like that because of their sin and because of that. And it goes on to say in 1 Samuel 12:13, Samuel said, see ye him whom the Lord hath chosen. But in 1 Samuel 12:13, now therefore behold the king whom ye have chosen and whom ye have desired. And behold, the Lord hath set a king over you. And it was not, they had some deliverance, but that king did not lead them well. Well, wait a minute. Why would the Lord give his own nation a bad king to start off with? Well, they're his nation. They belong to him. And when he believes that they need correcting, he'll correct them. It's just that simple. And when they obey and are doing well, he'll do well to bless them. And then when they start getting foul and that, he'll be long-suffering. to the extent he wants to be long-suffering. And then at some tripping point, he'll go to whipping them. Don't we see that in the Scripture? Because they're his nation. They are his nation indeed. We don't have time for it tonight, but I want us to see a blessing that the Lord gives. And may the Lord help us to see. You know, I encourage you, we want to take all the scripture and try to tie it together. You know, the Lord's got a vision. He's got promises that he's made. He's got a purpose and a plan and a work he's going to do. He's called individuals. He's chosen a nation. He's chosen leadership for the nation. The first king, Brother Mark went Sunday and gave us that aerial view of all the judges. Man, what a roller coaster ride for 300, 400 years. But he hadn't forgot what he promised. And for his nation in 1 Samuel 16, Saul has been disobedient. Early on, just a couple years in him being king, he has had the kingdom rent from him. Now, he's got another 38 years to go in the time that he will be king over Israel. But he's lost it. He's lost it by his own device and his own way. And so the Lord tells him even then, before this man is born, that I'm going to give it, the kingdom, to a man better than you. I'm going to give it to a man that's after my own heart this time. The nation got a king after their own heart, and the Lord appointed who he was. But then here we see this. Let's just read this, and we'll close for tonight. Samuel gets this word from the Lord, and he goes over to Bethlehem. The town is kind of, they're nervous about him showing up. And it's verse number 4, they trembled, the elders of the town trembled at his coming. You're coming peaceably, is there a problem? And we see this in verse number 7. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature. He's already got a look at David, one of David's, the eldest brother of David. Nor the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, the way it was with Saul, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab, made him pass before Samuel, and he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Did you hear that? Neither hath the Lord chosen this. It's his nation. He can pick the king. He does pick the king. Then Jesse made Shammah to pass by, and he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Again, Jesse made 7 of his sons to pass before Samuel, and Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord hath not chosen these. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? Jesse's thinking all the boys that are there at home would be the ones. Surely the one that's missing wouldn't be the one. Are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down until he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, and withal a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. He's the one. He's the one. A young fella out keeping the sheep of his daddy. You know, that just doesn't make sense. But the Lord chose him. Makes every bit of sense to the Lord because he was his choice. And that's the way the Lord works. You know, we do well to be very comfortable with the Lord's choosing. Who can fight against God? No one. No one can fight. All men can fight against God, but they'll not be successful. And may the Lord help us as we look into this and consider this from from these perspectives, that the Lord would give us help and understanding about it. That the Lord would help us to understand the way and the character of God in this. God is over all. And you know what you and I should do before someone that is over all? Lord, help us. We should hang on His every word in application to our lives. Because He is over all. He chooses nations. He chooses places. He chooses kings. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and all the inhabitants that are therein, they're His. And well, we should worship, honor, and glorify and praise Him.